Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." Now, in our last episode, we looked at the beginning part of this discussion of sanctification, what it is, and how the Bible describes two different aspects related to the sanctification of an individual. And we looked at the things of the positional sanctification of a believer, how we've been set apart for a particular purpose based on who we are in Christ. So the moment we put our trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and the simple fact that our belief in that and that alone gives us our eternal life, this is what we are able to see. Okay, based on that fact, we've been set apart for a particular purpose. That is our positional sanctification. And what we're going to do today is start to look at the aspects of the practical side of things. So the practical sanctification of the believer, the aspect of the things of what the Word of God rightly divided says, what the doctrine that we are taking in, how this is supposed to be having an impact on who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And we can see the Apostle Paul say a lot of things related to these aspects, because he'll lay out the doctrine that's for us today, and then he'll get into discussions of, okay, that this is how it is that all of this doctrine should be living out of us. And you know, that's that key word of should. It's not a requirement, you know, because we already have our salvation. The aspect of it being should is that this is what we are to do to be pleasing unto God related to earning those rewards related to the position that we should have in our, you know, in the eternal life that has been promised for us. Now, we can see how the Apostle Paul will get into a discussion about the struggles that he has, even as he's talking about his, you know, his thing of his life, you know, as our apostle. We can see, if we go over to Romans chapter number 7, we're going to see how Paul's going to get into a discussion here about some of the aspects of this struggle that he even had in his life. So here in Romans chapter 7, we're going to start here at verse number 15. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So we see how Paul, our apostle, as he's writing this book of Romans, is talking about a struggle that is going on inside of him. Now, so many individuals, when they'll read this passage, they will start talking about how Paul's describing these things prior to his salvation. So they'll take it as that this is the unsaved Paul talking about how he had this struggle going on. They'll try to deny that this has anything to do with the life which we are living today. But Paul's talking about this going on as he is writing this, saying that there's some things of he knows that he should do certain things, and he sometimes does what he is supposed to do, and sometimes he doesn't do those things. So if the Apostle Paul is struggling with that, then the reality is going to be that all of us are going to have that same struggle going on as we are living our life. We can see how Paul writes to the saints in Corinth and says certain things related. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we'll see here, you know, and we're just going to kind of read the conclusion of this whole discussion that he has had here. We're going to read verse number 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We'll turn over to chapter number 10, because he's going to say something very similar here in chapter 10 as well. In verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. So as we look at these two passages, we can see how Paul starts talking about how that all things are lawful for him. So there are no restrictions on the fact of that he can't do certain things. You know, this is not the law system where, you know, you have to do these things and you don't, and you can't do these things at all. There are no restrictions from that side of things, but we see how he describes it from the aspect of, you know, the fact in chapter 10, it's all things edify not. So even though it's lawful for me to do all things, not all things bring about the edification, you know, the building up of both the individual who's doing the things and also all of the individuals who are around them. You see in chapter 6, he's talking about the aspect of being brought under the power of these things. You know, because there are certain things that can go on that a person can be brought under the power of. So we, as they're brought under that power, that it starts to actually have a control over the person's life. That's why you see how Paul describes, if we go over to the book of Ephesians here, and let's turn to Ephesians chapter number 5, that Paul gives an example here in Ephesians 5 of something that a person can be brought under the power of when he says in verse 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." So he draws this contrast to, you know, to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now, we know from other passages that he's not condemning the action of drinking alcohol itself, because he tells Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake in his oft infirmities. So it's not just that aspect of drinking, it's that aspect, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. So don't let the aspect of this wine have a control over you, but you're to be filled with the Spirit. And he gives a passage that even helps us identify exactly what being filled with the Spirit is when you look over in Colossians 3, which is listing out the things, those other things that we see in verses 19, 20, and 21 of Ephesians 5. In Colossians 3 and verse 16, which says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom." And then he lists out those same things that we saw in Ephesians 5. So the aspect of being filled with the Spirit is letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not what we see so many individuals try to make it of, that it's some supernatural filling of the Spirit so a person can be demonstrating all the sign gifts. Being filled with the Spirit is the Word dwelling in an individual, having an impact. And that can only occur when the person is doing exactly what God intends for us to do. And we see how Paul starts to give us this aspect of, okay, I've laid out that it's okay for you to do all of these things, but now we're going to talk about how it is that you're making those decisions on exactly what it is that you should be doing here. And let's go over to Romans chapter number 12, because Paul's going to give an understanding here of exactly what it is that we are supposed to do. And here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read here the first two verses. It says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So Paul's drawing a contrast here between two things. There's the aspect of being conformed to this world. And we know that the things of the world, which are being controlled by the prince of the power of the air, so Satan has the control over the things of this world, that all of those things are all designed to keep someone away from the things of God, keeping people away from the doctrine that's been laid out, being kept away from it having that true impact. But we're to have a transformation, a renewing of the mind occurring as we are taking the doctrine in. And when we take the doctrine in, you know, that occurs as we are studying to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we take the doctrine and we understand the application of right division. So we understand, you know, that there's things that are written in the scriptures directly to us. There are things that are written not to us. And as we study, we have that understanding. And when we get to the things that apply directly to us, we work on applying that doctrine to our life. Now, this transformation can only occur in an individual that is saved. Because we're going to see how the word works in an individual. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and we see how Paul's going to get into a discussion here with these saints in Corinth, describing for them how this occurs. And we're going to read from verse 6 down through verse 16 here of 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, we see how there's this comparison here between the natural man and the spiritual man, the one who has accepted the gospel message. The natural man, there is not the Spirit of God in them, and because of that fact, the Word of God can have no effect on that individual. That's why you'll hear so many individuals that do not have salvation, when they'll just start looking at and say that, you know, the Bible is confusing to them. And, you know, because of the fact that they find it confusing, they'll just start using the Word of God in their the way that they feel, and then, you know, they'll just look and find, you know, find something that they don't like and just grab it and say, well, see, I found this here, and because I found this here, that's what the whole Bible talks about. You know, when the reality is, they're picking, you know, maybe just one verse out of the whole entire Bible, and because the Spirit is not in them, they can't understand who that applied to. They can't understand the context of it. They can't understand the doctrine of what it is that they're looking at, and they're just taking it way out of its context. It's the individuals who have the Spirit in them that can start to understand what it is that the Word of God says, because the Spirit's going to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So it's going to take passages that a person is looking at and be able to say, because a person has that foundation of doctrine built up in them, that then can start to compare different verses with each other, so that way a person gets that, you know, thing of saying, okay, now I understand what this verse is actually talking about. And because now I can understand it, now I can start properly applying it to my life. That's what starts to happen as a person is studying and taking the doctrine in, and it occurring as, you know, after that person has salvation. That's why God's will is that all men will be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. We're talking about that aspect of coming unto this knowledge of the truth, so that way an individual can start to have that practical sanctification. And what that really means is that a person is getting closer and closer on the practical sense to being in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that way the person is able to do, and let's go over to Galatians chapter number 2. And we're going to see how Paul describes the life which we're supposed to live here in verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So this is how it is that we are supposed to be living our life, that we're supposed to be having an aspect of where the Lord Jesus Christ is living in us and through us. And that occurs when we're taking the doctrine in, and as we're taking the doctrine in, allowing that doctrine to live in us and through us. So if we do the right thing, because the doctrine has told us that this is what we are supposed to be doing, then it's the Lord Jesus Christ living in us and through us, and that is, you know, that practical sanctification occurring. We, you know, we are pleasing unto God. If we do the right thing, you know, just because, well, you know, the laws of the land tell me this is what I'm supposed to do, or, you know, I've always been taught that this is what, you know, it is that I'm supposed to be doing, or, you know, I went back into the book of Matthew and found this doctrine in there, so because it's in Matthew, I'm following it. You know, all of those are good things from man's perspective, but none of that is pleasing unto God. Now, when we think about that struggle that the Apostle Paul had, you know, the reality back there in Romans chapter number 7 was the aspect of that as this practical sanctification is occurring, the individual is going to have times where they're functioning properly. They're going to have times where there's a struggle going on. And when those times of struggle actually occur, you know, that's where we're building the wood, hay, and stubble at the judgment seat of Christ. And what the goal is of our life is that we, as we take this doctrine in, that we have fewer times of that actually occurring. Now, we're going to continue on with this discussion in our next episode. here, but we're going to close out. And as we close, I always like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost.